Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 630. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin, after you jinxed me the other night.
Is it really a jinxing when you get the review?
I think it's a jinxing.
You think it's a jinxing? Yeah, I mean, I may have jinxed it. I did kind of laugh when Jeremy texted me on Wednesday asking if you could do this show. I was just like, yep, had to happen the week that I point out that you've been just doing the odd numbered shows. Oh, so, yep, here you are, even number. Come on, it's got to at least feel better in and of the fact that I think everyone pretty much on the site is in agreement that Wednesday night is the more enjoyable of the wrestling nights. It would really just work better if they weren't airing concurrently.
I don't believe that at all. I think SmackDown's been consistently been the best wrestling show for months and months now.
Oh.
And I have not been impressed with the AEW NXT offerings of late. Last night was better, but I'm not. I haven't been a big fan of the 2021 shows in that regard at all for AEW or NXT.
Yeah, I guess I stepped over a little bit, but I guess on a whole, because I like the people better, I'm okay with it. Covers up the flaws a little bit for me, enjoyment-wise. But I guess you're right. There is, you know, you kind of mentioned the starting point. I think it's a good one. AEW just enters into a pact with TNA to do a crossover event. And it's kind of been a continued thing. They have people on there from NWA all the time. Well, mostly just Serena Deeb. But nonetheless, there is an NWA presence on there. Kenta pops up at the end of this week's show and adds New Japan into the mix.
Yes, that's a very, very interesting deal right there. We're not sure exactly what of the length or breadth of the deal is going to be. New Japan has had this dangling thread for since the beginning of COVID that one John Moxley is in possession of one of their championships that he hasn't been able to defend in over a year. their United States Championship, which is at this point is almost becoming an ironic thing. Japan is unable to do anything in America other than their weekly series on New Japan World, the NJPW Strong that they do out of basically out of a gym in Los Angeles. But they're finally started moving in the direction of getting a contender set up for one John Moxley to have a match that I believe was still going to be taking place in the United States in the aforementioned gym in Los Angeles. I think that's coming towards the end of this month of a Kenta versus Moxley singles match. It was definitely a natural thing to have Kenta show up on AEW to attack Moxley, and he rolled into a storylines there. Certainly, AEW will promote that, you know, the Moxley Kenta singles match is coming, and where you can watch it. So that's a good move for New Japan, and AEW as of right now just gets this one shock moment. And next week they have announced that there will be a Falls Count Anywhere tag match where Kenta will team up with Kenny Omega to face John Moxley and Lance Archer. All people who have New Japan experience and you know, have been there. They're definitely making a I haven't seen it myself, but they did do something on their post show on YouTube where Omega welcomed Kenta into his group, but you know Kenta has refused, saying that this is just about Moxley. Megan's saying he's fine with it, but once again, it's generations of Bullet Club. It's still generations of Bullet Club together. So that will be it'll be interesting to see if there is any further follow up. If there's anything beyond Kenta, I don't think that there's going to be a great New Japan AEW crossover, especially considering COVID travel restrictions. I don't even know. I don't know how Kenta got over here, to be honest. And I mean, because I know he was on the shows and. He was on the Dome shows, and then came over here to work. So that's interesting. He's allowed to do that, but the bigger issue is Japanese don't want ugly, gross, COVID denying Americans on their soil.
I mean that obviously is their solution. I would say to the problem here, I guess I felt like restrictions have loosened up enough for this not to be too strange. I mean, they've had because PAC was stuck over in England for quite some time, was he not?
Yeah.
So yeah I just this was one where I'm like, I guess you know if you want to do that, you can do that now. Like I didn't put too much stock in that part of the situation, honestly. But I guess I hope it isn't a big presence that New Japan has, like, because I felt like this when ROH was doing some of this crossover stuff, where I kind of feel like you lose your own brand because you're doing so many cross promotional things. And you know, I think there are one too many of those things kind of going on for AEW right now. Like, yeah, it definitely provided a shock factor, and considering I haven't watched the other New Japan stuff, I'm not sure that I'll end up watching this, honestly. Like, that's it's something that really hasn't been a priority to me, and
I've let my New Japan World subscription go, and I've had no reason to subscribe back. New Japan is in a holding pattern where there's been very little roster turnover and they're stale. Like, what? For the guys who were going over to Japan, you know, fairly regularly, you know, there's no new top guys to wrestle. No new top guys for Omega to wrestle. Even Jericho got the trifecta of Naito, Okada, and Tanahashi. Moxley had just started going over there, and there were bigger matches for him. But it doesn't feel like there's that much. Especially for the guys in AEW who were already regularly working in Japan before AEW, there's not much new ground for them to cover.
I'm in agreement. Like, Moxley does have some matches out there if he wants to, but you know, he covered enough ground that I don't think it's really. It would not be something that would concern me if I were him, you know, especially with the kid on the way. You already had a COVID run-in. Why would you take a trip to Japan? I guess seems to be a fairly logical stance on his part.
I mean, there's still things to do. I mean, you could. It really does need to be, you know, a big show thing to do, not, you know, go for the Tokyo Dome and a few other times a year. You know, Moxley got it in his head that he needed to do the G1 and have, you know, 9 matches and 9 nights and all that, and ended up getting hurt, you know, getting himself taken out of an AEW pay-per-view match, you know, weeks later or so. That did not go well for the AEW side. You know, But yeah, it's that. If for a big show thing, as long if it's not all that mini, you can certainly do things with it. And so yeah, I don't see this being something that's gonna take over AEW TV anytime soon.
Oh. Yeah. And so yeah, if this is a one-off thing, I think that's good because there's. Cause when oh yeah, just when I did see that tag team match mentioned for next week, I was just like, oh man, how many tag team partners does Kenny Omega have? Oh, a lot, evidently, a lot. So, and I'm trying to think. Well, we got a clean Kenny Omega win, really, for the most part. In that, yeah. Was, yeah.
Well, the Good Brothers pinned Phoenix.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Who was ridiculously impressive during that whole match? Yeah, Phoenix is pretty damn, pretty damn great. They need to find a way to do more with him.
He is a really, really enjoyable wrestler. That guy is a crash test dummy in the best sense of the word. Like, when he does his tope to the outside, like, he almost always nearly clears the guardrail. And, like, I believe he was he sitting on it this week or last week? I was like, oh my goodness. And yeah, he just really goes for it, and I do really love watching him wrestle. So yeah, if they put him on more, I'm all for it. Especially because, yeah, I don't know, the tag team matches with him and Penta always drive me bananas since they do lucha rules, but. No one ever says that it's lucha rules.
Yeah, I honestly, Phoenix has gotten to the point where he is in a lot better than his brother, and they need to really pursue him, you know, as a single and maybe think about breaking the tag team up.
Yeah, I mean, and that Zero Fear thing is just. I'm like, I can understand doing it coming to the ring, but when you do it like 92 times in every match that you're in, everyone should be tired of it and should just be punching you every time you waste your time doing that. So, yeah, Phoenix has definitely evolved more than his brother has. Yeah, but I don't know. It seems like they're leaning towards tag team, but are you reading the situation differently?
Yeah, they're gonna have looks like they're gonna have them go after the Good Brothers and probably a scenario where the Impact Tag Team Championships are on the line. Although, well, the Lucha Brothers are also former.
Impact champions.
Impact tag team champions. So it's not like that there's no ground for them either.
No, and there really aren't any new tag teams in Impact for them to wrestle. Like, their roster turnover hasn't been all that crazy either in Impact. So, Phoenix and Penta didn't leave all that long ago. So I guess the other big thing to happen on AEW is Shaquille O'Neal giving us a date for when he is going to wrestle on Dynamite. It happens to be my birthday, so I'm considering it a birthday present.
I'm sure it's a hell of a birthday present.
Shaquille O'Neal is probably not going to be in this match very much, considering it's a tag team match. Your thoughts on Shaquille O'Neal being in an actual wrestling match?
Well, it's been a long time coming. Certainly not the opponent anyone ever expected, or in the company anyone ever expected. and it being on free TV probably wasn't expected either, but yeah, they are putting Shaq in the most low-pressure situation they possibly can. You know, and it's potentially to the detriment of the show and, you know, AEW possibly. I don't see Shaq taking this seriously. And I don't see him getting in shape for it. So there's a chance he's gonna really look bad out there. In the best of circumstances, I can't picture what a match between Shaquille O'Neal and Cody Rhodes is gonna look like. I mean, there's this giant size difference. But Shaq doesn't know how to wrestle or what to do with that. It's a mixed tag. I realized this earlier. I had to look this up and figure to find this out earlier. Jade Cargill has never had a match either.
Oh, ever, so anywhere. So she's just in really good shape.
She's a really, you know, she's been training with what's his name, QT Marshall at the wrestling school I think Cody owns.
Oh, okay.
She's got a good athletic pedigree, but she's, you know, never had a match before. And on the other side, we have, instead of Brandi Rhodes, where the heat was, we've got Red Velvet, who might be a better wrestler than Brandi Rhodes, but she's not exactly an experienced ring general either.
And
the key to doing a tag match is to keep Shaq out as much as possible. But what's going to happen when Red Velvet has to carry Jade Cargill through her first match on live TV?
Yeah, that's why it's going to be a birthday present. It is going to be a train wreck. More than likely.
I think it will be. I mean, hopefully Shaq is more engaged than he seemed in that clip they showed from NBA on TNT. Because it just seems like he's not taking this seriously. And if he's not taking it seriously, okay. Shaquille O'Neal in a professional wrestling match for the first time ever. If AEW can't do over 1 million viewers for that, with NXT on the opposite channel, I don't know if they ever will. TNT, with, you know, with all the promotion that will go happen on TNT during basketball coverage.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't even baited into it. I saw another headline and I just couldn't click it. About AEW ratings and NXT ratings, and I could not click on it. I would take it by your comment that they are still under 1 million.
They're still under 1 million, but they did beat NXT. So, you know, Edge confirmed, not a draw. Though, you know who is confirmed to draw? Jinder Mahal, because the Superstar Spectacle that aired in prime time in India to 20 million viewers. It's time to put the belt back on gender. All
of them. Yeah. Is he actually still employed with the WWE?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just been injured he's got hurt again.
Oh, okay.
Whew. But he was in the main event. We could see him in the Him and the Singh brothers faced, I think, Drew McIntyre, and I don't remember who was. Oh, the Indusheer, actually.
Oh.
It was that deal that aired at 9:30 a.m. here. But it was on prime time and on regular TV over in India, and it did giant numbers. Just as an aside. Once again, when we talk about this Wednesday night war between AEW and NXT, and the numbers they actually put up, it's actually kind of sad.
There's I mean, I always end up I'm still watching NXT first because my DVR properly records AEW, so I can just go back and watch that one proper like. Yeah, I'm not gonna watch that that Shaq match until, but I've got to watch that Shaq match live.
It's your birthday. You've got to watch it live.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
that
mean,
thing's.
that's going to be a community view. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a night where NXT is going to get trounced no matter what it tries to put on, and AEW should do their best rating out of it, other than the first one, maybe. The
But
opening with the violence.
I don't th I honestly don't think that that's going to be something that pops them above a million, though. Maybe it could, but I
I know he's par. He's, I know he's been retired for a long time, but it's still Shaq. But then again, Shaq is just on everything, everywhere. You can't turn away from Shaq. He's on a commercial. He's on some show. It's just it's the whole thing is just I don't understand where it came from to want to do Shaq versus Cody. I just don't get it.
Yeah, and neither do I.
And then make it a mixed tag.
Yeah, and honestly, the idea of having someone have her first match against Brandi Rhodes is not exactly much better than Red Velvet versus someone wrestling her first match.
It was probably worse, actually, but yeah, it's yeah.
This thing has not looked good from Jump Street,
No,
and
it has not.
yeah, I mean, like I said, that's gonna be one of those ones where I'm just kind of watching for the car crash because I guess I don't care whether he takes it, you know, like it's been kind of funny, just a lot of the celebrities and a lot of the people you're like, oh, are they gonna be able to pull this off? Recently have not only pulled it off, but just killed it. You know,
Yeah.
like Pat McAfee killed it. And I remember it really wasn't that long ago. Everyone's going, oh, how's Ronda Rousey gonna look in a wrestling ring? And we're like, oh shit, man, she can really pull this thing off. You know, pretty much immediately. Like, I guess I'm not ever going to expect that from Shaq, honestly, but yeah, just it's more of a that guy played for 20 years, really put a lot of mileage on his body. What does he have left against the guy? Like you said, like it's kind of hilarious that Cody Rhodes is one of the bigger guys on AEW's roster, but Shaq is just going to dwarf him.
It's going to be a very, very awkward match watch. I mean, I don't picture it. I don't picture what Shaq's going to be able to do, especially if I think he's just not really taking it seriously, not training. What's he going to be able to do? And then watching Shaq try to sell for Cody, that'll probably that's going to be worse. Shaq trying to book and sell, that's going to be ridiculous. If he's not putting the Pat McAfee Ronda Rousey effort into this match, which I don't believe he is, he's a busy guy. He doesn't seem like he cares that much.
Yeah, I mean, this is one where it really does feel like it's more of a it's a childhood dream and they're just making it come true for him. And it's a little bit of a, you know, obviously a crossover since they are on TNT also.
Yeah, it's definitely for TNT. There's a reason it's not on the pay-per-view. It's a thing for TNT. They'll hype it hard on the NBA and TNT stuff, and you know, they'll multiple commercials, ad, you know, commentator ad reads for it. So it could become a big deal, but the announcement's not getting really any buzz at all. Like, I'm kind of surprised that Shaq has, you know, officially assigned to a wrestling match, and I haven't seen anyone talking about it, any articles, anything about it. So, if buzz picks up for it, if AEW can do a good number for it and put on a hell of a show that night that they can grow from. If not, this, once again, this could be embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not gonna look good. Well, we always expect some type of embarrassment from a wedding segment in professional wrestling. So, what says you about the embarrassment endured by Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford?
Sabian's entire existence is an embarrassment. What a garbage wedding. Like, nothing about this. Once again, if you're going to do weddings in wrestling, the people in it have to be over. You know, the audience has to care about them. The audience does not care about Kip Sabian or Penelope Ford, who's dragged down by the existence of Kip Sabian. And then Miro miscast and not... And an unmotivated, he can't save this stuff. Just probably the worst wrestling wedding ever. At least it's Dawn Marie and Al Wilson, where they just where Al was his underwear, and but otherwise they they exchanged their vows and left.
Yeah, that was a rough one. You never cared about Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford one way or the other. Like, and honestly, I think that the, playing the butler thing is completely played out, and I'd rather, like, never see that storyline again ever in wrestling when I watch it.
They didn't even do it right. They didn't have. Where were the as they say in the business? Where were the vignettes? Where were the vignettes of you know Chuck Taylor, you know, being put through, you know, embarrassment after embarrassment? Hell, for this whole thing, they brought in Miro to be the best man. They didn't even do bachelor party skits. That seems like a no-brainer. They didn't even do that.
Yeah, like, I was... When Jeremy and I first started talking about this, and when... Because I want to say it was maybe 3 weeks ago or something, I was happy that they weren't going to drag out the Chuck Taylor being his, butler thing too long, but it... actually ended up feeling like it was entirely too short. And I also get too tired of them, you know, they make them do too much. Like, it just kind of goes overboard from reason instead of just kind of being a bit of a jackass to them. You know, where they, like, intentionally spill a coffee, like, straight in their face or something, you know. It gets a little too over the top, but they played it way too understated this time around. Like, it was really kind of weird to me. Like, he made him, like, pick up one thing, and he was a little bit of a dick to him when Orange Cassidy was out in the crowd. But really, making him say, I'm Miro's best friend, you think that really means something? I mean, I know that's from last week, but, you know, it doesn't help you care about that segment anymore. Like, it was rough, man. That really, I guess I hadn't thought about, I never would think to rank weddings, but that one was just, yeah, like you said, like, the first thing you need to do is you need to care about the people, and we didn't care about the people. You know, they did not follow any storytelling to get that wedding over.
No, and you can only do something the first time one time. So, you know, the first wedding in AEW, weddings are supposed to be, you know, big ratings grabbers, and they're supposed to be attention grabbers. And with these people involved, it wasn't going to be anything like that. It was, you know, it's, you know, Kip Sabian is just the one of the worst guys who gets regular play on Dynamite. Maybe the worst. I'm not even sure. I'd have to really think about that.
Yes. Considering that, he is... I'm just going to go to Black Hole of Charisma because it's easier to find GIFs of black holes. Anti-Charisma is not as easy to find GIFs for. But yeah, he's. I have not appointed someone a black hole of charisma since Michelle McCool, and Kip Sabian is the first one to pick up that gauntlet in quite some time. Because I don't know when Michelle McCool was done wrestling, but it's been a solid decade, I'm assuming. yeah, he is just not good. And I guess I was looking through the rest of this show and there really wasn't a whole lot to it. We had more, stuff going on with, oh my God, why am I forgetting about, Chris Jericho's, what's his, group's name? Why am I just completely...
The Inner Circle. Yes, there was definitely more Inner Circle drama. It was, you know, they built the entire Battle Royal around it. The tag team Battle Royal where both members of a team have to be eliminated, which is different than most tag team Battle Royals. But in the middle of that, it was fine. I kind of figured that Jericho and MJF were winning. I mean, they didn't do a theme song mashup for the two of them, for them to not
right.
Hey. So yeah, that's fine. And then you know, they're backstage, and you know, Sammy Guevara's just is absolutely fed up with MJF, and kind of, you know, fed up with Jericho, and just, you know, basically letting MJF run the show, and so they went off, and then, you know, MJF essentially took over the Inner Circle while behind Chris Jericho's back. After he left the room, so that's, you know, so there was a forward movement in that storyline, and it's fine. It was pretty good stuff this week with that.
That was some of the more enjoyable stuff. I guess I did like the Thunder Rosa Britt Baker match. Like that was
really, really good.
Yeah, that was...
That match was one of the better women's matches. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, no, I was going to go with what you were talking about. Like, that was one of the better women's matches that... I think AEW has slowly started to move in the right direction with their women's division. It probably has helped that they've cut back to one segment for a while. Because they really don't have enough women for multiple women's matches on a show.
Yeah, they don't, but they are going forward with this women's tournament, which could be a make or break thing for the women's division. They haven't announced yet how it's all going to be airing, where it's all going to be airing. If the Japanese matches. Whatever their partner promotion in Japan is for that, where if we'll be able to see those in the U.S. or not, or I imagine we will, or, you know, as far as, you know, what's going to be on Dark, what's going to end up on Dynamite, yeah, that should be all right. Obviously, I haven't seen anything, but I'm assuming Hikaru Shida has been injured for some time, because I can't remember the last time she had a match.
Yeah, she's... yeah, they just haven't really done a good job with her. Just in general. Because even if she's injured, I have no idea what her character is. Like, she should really be doing segments to make me understand what her character is. Other than her name. You know, like, I enjoy her as a wrestler. Like, I don't have a beef with her in that department. It's just that there's, you know, there's no depth to her. And if she's... If it's not enough time that she's going to need to give up the championship, at least fill some of it in with information about her. Like, that would really help a lot.
Yeah.
Because that could be something that AEW could fit into their programming. I guess they did have a little bit of a segment for Jade Cargill, so I will... I don't know if that really counts as a... Yeah, I mean, it does count as a women's segment, but Hikaru Shida needed something like that to really kind of help her out. But yeah, you're right. She hasn't really been on TV in quite some time, so I would imagine that she is injured. Or out with COVID. One of the two. Because we don't find this information out most of the time until much later.
Well, I would go with an injury because they wouldn't have planned this really long tournament unless they were still planning her to be out for a couple of months, probably, at least.
Oh.
It's what, 16, yeah. Is it 16 women?
I believe granted, so.
Granted, the U.S. and Japanese matches will happen, I'm sure concurrently, and whenever they'll air or whatnot. But yeah, it's definitely something that will take up a month or so of TV. It seems, at least, depending on how many matches they do per week.
Yeah. I mean, I guess a month still isn't that long to be on the shelf. If that's the end of the line, like. I guess I always think if it's longer than 3 months, you need to do something, or 3 months. Yeah, 3 months or longer, you kind of either need to play it into the storyline. Because I don't know, how long did it take Finn Balor to come back? Was that a month or so from the broken jaw?
I feel like it was at least 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems pretty reasonable, but yeah, I mean, that's, to me, anything more than that time frame gets to be a little lengthy. But sometimes, like, I know with at least Karrion Kross returning, I almost felt like, I'm like, man, really? Like, they couldn't have kept the belt on him? Like, it was almost a quick enough turnaround, but I think he was in that 3 to 4 month range. So yeah, I guess it'll be interesting to see how long I guess if Shida is only on the shelf for a month, to me, that's not terribly long. Like, yeah, I mean, they're definitely hiding her, a little bit, but yeah, I don't know. The whole injury thing is weird. I guess I'd just rather know at this point. Instead of just sitting here always wondering what the hell's going on. But we're never going to get an injury report unless it's really long term. Because wrestling. Anything else to cover on AEW before sliding on over to NXT?
No, we can certainly slide on over to NXT.
You had the aforementioned Edge on the tip of your tongue earlier, so I suppose that's as good a place to start as any with NXT. What says you about his appearance there?
I think he was definitely he seemed to really want to be there. He seemed to be really engaged with it and passionate about it. He really delivered a strong promo, a stronger promo than he did towards Drew McIntyre on Monday. I think it really made the Finn Balor Pete Dunne match feel more important. But also it made it feel more important because of the way they reacted. I've seen something say that they didn't like how Balor and Dunn didn't really pay, just didn't even look at Edge, and they just kept looking at each other. I thought that was great. I thought it was great that, you know, it's about them. It's about the NXT Championship. One of the mistakes they made last year with Rhea Ripley is they made it that Ripley was the one who had something to prove, like. She should have felt lucky to even be at WrestleMania. Her hopes and her dreams, and and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
When it should have been that, you know, Charlotte wants the championship. You know, Ed showed up on NXT to talk about the NXT championship.
I really loved the promo from Edge, and I guess, yeah, I didn't really have a problem with them staring each other down. Like, I do think that trope in wrestling of being distracted by that other person at ringside is something that's too overplayed, honestly. Like, you can focus on one match, especially since Edge was just like, hey, this is just a potential idea. I'm just giving you a heads up here that I might be coming for it. So, it's, you know, there's no reason to pay him any mind until after that match then. So, that's why if you're smart, you focus on your task at hand, and they did. Good for them.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And once again, Edge added more, you know, more importance to that match. And you know, once again, Edge really, really put over NXT. Did it in the in-ring segment with Balor and Dunn. Did it with Karrion Kross, saying that, you know, you don't want me to return. that was good stuff.
Yes.
Interesting that, you know, Kross is in a weird place right now. You know, Pete Dunne's getting the next title, the next shot at Finn Balor. He's in this bizarre feud with Escobar. Where the hell did that come from?
That was...
Heels? What is going on?
I honestly had forgotten about Escobar laughing at the tarot card at his locker. But this week I'm watching, like, I guess for whatever reason when I saw that last week I didn't think about it too much. This week when they were playing the cheering noises for Karrion Kross, I'm like, oh my god, this is what's happening. Like, I don't know. It should have dawned on me last week what was happening, but it didn't for whatever reason. And I'm like, oh, this is a really weird spot to be in. Like, because, you know, Escobar did all kinds of heel things during his match with Kurt Stallion. And even in his promo ahead of time. So it's just like, oh, Kross is the good guy now? Like, kind of like I was just saying, it was almost weird that they did take the title off of him. He wasn't gone long enough to get that, oh, he's coming back, you know? Like, here's the, you know... I'm trying to think of, like, big... Like, didn't Edge have... Well, I mean, not this most recent return for Edge, but I feel like Edge was a babyface for half a minute after coming back from an injury once, and then everyone realized they didn't like him as a babyface and he went back to being a heel.
Yeah, that definitely happened.
But I mean, Cross wasn't gone long enough to have that change in babyface. But like you said, like they seem set on Dunn and Balor for the title match. So it's like, what do you do with him in the meantime? And in a sense, I like the Escobar versus Cross matchup. As far as within the confines of a wrestling ring, but story-wise, it's weird. It is very weird.
It is very weird. I thought Curt Stallion was going to take the Cruiserweight title, especially with
Oh.
Scarlett out there as a distraction to make it as an excuse. But no, he's going to be the Cruiserweight champion, wrestling a heavyweight at some point in the near future, and probably losing. So, okay. Good on the Cruiserweight title. And then Cross goes and confronts and threatens Edge, and making himself not look that tall in the process.
Edge is one of those guys that you're like, oh, I forgot how, like, even though he's slimmed down, you kind of forget how tall he was. And Christian's kind of the same way. Like, you kind of forget how tall he was, too. Like, in this. I don't think Cross is. I'm trying to think of who I think about is vertically challenged. That Jackson Ryker, we've kind of talked about before. Like, people talk about him being big, but when he's bodyguarding a guy that's the same size as him, you start to scratch your head a little bit. And then he's shorter than a lot of other people on top of it. I guess I hadn't realized that Cross wasn't terribly tall, but Edge is kind of deceptively tall, so. I think they do a good job of getting him over with. Well, A, he does a good job of getting himself over with his in-ring style. I think he just kind of, even if he isn't actually stiff, he looks stiff, I would say. And he definitely is on the bigger side for the AEW roster, which makes things easy to toss people around. You know, he's gonna have a little bit harder of a time. On the main roster, I would say, is a general whole. Even though that ro the main roster is still kind of sized down from what it used to be. He didn't really wrestle Keith Lee, the Keith Lees and Dijakovic and Damian Priest as much. Although he did have a did he have a feud with
He
Priest?
wrestled all of them. He wrestled
No,
all of them.
well. But he only had the one match with Keith Lee in which he won the
He only had one
championship.
match with all of them. Yeah. You know, but yeah. But no. They're still the top. He still didn't. Once again, one of the issues with Cross is they want him to be a monster, but he just does. We were talking about. He just does. He's not that physically imposing.
He's bigger than Riker, but he's. Yeah, I guess in the scope of things, he really isn't that big. And I guess there aren't any, well, I was gonna say aren't any huge guys, and then Braun Strowman pops in my head on the main roster that he'd have to deal with. But I would think that Reigns would even look him make him look pretty small. Reigns is pretty yoked these days. So I guess Jeremy and I kind of talked about this. Do you think a little bit last week, do you think that the Dusty Cup double classic is throwing off some of the storytelling in NXT currently?
Well, I think they're doing it because they don't have storytelling. Check out the egg fiasco scenario there.
Okie dokie. Well,
What the
that.
hell? Otherwise, why would you have two concurrent? Why, unless you have nothing else to do, why would you have two concurrent tournaments going on at the same time?
I do feel like this kind of derailed things more than I guess I was expecting. They had the New Year's Evil and they ended a lot of feuds there. So I guess I was expecting a pickup of things after that. But we haven't gotten that at all. You know, like, we've just basically gotten the two tournaments with a little bit of, you know, obviously the Escobar and Kurt Stallion thing was is something they at least put a little bit of time to, because it was actually pretty nice to get a little bit of a Kurt Stallion, you know, what he's all about segment before that matchup, just because I didn't know who he was. So that was good.
I watched that segment and I don't remember anything about who he was, so it didn't exactly leave an impression on me.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, he kind of was playing the, you know, small-town Texas guy. And I'm okay with that. Like, because someone said, like, sometimes there are so many wacky characters, it's almost weird to see a normal character.
Oh, there's not enough wacky characters anymore. I'm sick of these normal characters. Oh, this is my dream. It's my passion. Shut the fuck up. I don't think there's enough. There's not enough wacky characters in wrestling. I'm sick of normal people with normal names.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I was cool with it, but, yeah, no, but, one of the better matches, to go back to one of the earlier points, I suppose, with the Dusty Classic, I did, enjoy the ladies match that opened up the show last night.
I enjoyed that match a lot. That was a really good match, you know. Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter have definitely improved quite a bit. They need to work with Casey Catanzaro about her landing on that finish, because right now it's all over the board. It's impressive as hell the amount of flips she can do, but the landing is the issue. Landing has become the issue.
It'd always be useful to take out one part of that impressive finisher. Like, I feel like there's four parts to it, and if you took out one, you'd be able to, like, just really destroy the finish. Or really land it like you want someone to land it. But like you said, like, it's... I've liked their progression as a team. I've liked both of their progressions in the ring. Like, I'm not really surprised by either in a lot of way. They both have a lot of athletic pedigree as a background. Casey did have to step away for a little bit, so it maybe was a mental thing for whatever reason. For her, if she really wanted to be in it, because, I mean, people always talk about how much, physical pain is involved in that. And, I don't think that was part of American Ninja Warrior. Things go wrong, but, the bumping toll is not there. Do you watch the American Ninja Warrior at all?
I've seen it. I've seen her. I mean, she was, you know, the best woman to ever be on the show. I think. What? She still holds the women's record on that show, correct?
No.
No, she does not.
No.
Oh, well.
No. They've had women finish rounds in the finals now.
Oh, okay.
And I even think they've finished this. Have they finished the second course? No, I don't think they've finished the second course yet. But they've had a couple of women finish the first round of the finals course. So yeah, she has been dusted in that department. But I mean, she almost has the same problem in the WWE that she had there. His size does matter. She's really small.
Yeah.
Is athletic and as impressive as some of that stuff is that she can do. When you weigh 95 pounds, you weigh 95 pounds, and that's tiny even for the ladies of the WWE. But yeah, that was a really I did enjoy that match quite a bit. Not a lot to say about that match, really. And oof. Yeah, not a lot to say about the Toni Storm and Jessie Kamea match, really, either. Is there anything
No.
really? Nope. Okay.
No, there is not.
Good, good. And then I guess we got the main event was still Dusty Classic. Ciampa and Thatcher versus Adam Cole and Roderick Strong. Not terribly surprised that Undisputed Era continues their losing ways, because what else can you do with them at this point? Them
No,
winning
there's
the
nothing.
Dusty Classic again is not a good story.
No, it's not. I honestly don't know exactly what you do with the Undisputed Era at this point. They're at this they're this overarching presence over all of NXT, and they have been for so long. It's been too long. And now they're baby faces, and they're not exactly effective baby faces, and it's time for all of them to go. They all need to leave. And
The Kyle O'Reilly
NXT's been
stuff
around.
is fresh, but it's also left the other, well, the
Yeah.
other two at this point, since Bobby Fish is hurt again. It's left Roderick Strong and Adam Cole with nothing to do, and it's really awkward.
Yeah, it is very yes. It's very awkward that Cole and Strong just have nothing to do. They're not a natural team either. The two of them, Strong and Fish. Well, O'Reilly and Strong. No, it's O'Reilly and Fish. Cole and O'Reilly, and Cole and O'Reilly are the team have traditionally teamed.
Yes, yeah. I'm trying to think of what their name was. Future Shock?
Future Shock,
Yes.
yes,
Yes,
but yeah,
yes.
but that was also a long time ago now. The Future Shock
Very
guys are
long
old.
time ago. I've been
Yeah,
watching them as a team way too long at this juncture.
so yeah, no, they need to figure out what to do with Undisputed Era, and really what they need to do is just bring them up. I don't think them feuding with each other in NXT at this point, which they've dropped basically. They've dropped all hints of dissension within an Undisputed Era.
Oh,
So,
yeah. When you get the announcers talking about how magnanimous of a leader Adam Cole is during the match, you are really trying to squash any type of infighting.
then it's just time for them to go to Raw or SmackDown as heels. Because I don't think you break up the group. You don't break them up as a group. Individually, they would get eaten alive for various reasons: size, look, you know, promo ability, what have you. As a group, they're greater than the sum of their parts.
Agreed. And they don't really have WWE. Yeah, the main roster doesn't have a whole lot of factions, especially with this splitting up of New Day. It's hard to call Roman Reigns and Jey Uso a faction. If they had Jimmy, I could buy into that theory. But at the current moment, they don't. Well, we don't have Jay either, really, I think. Yeah, like, there aren't a whole lot of factions on the main roster. And it would be something kind of fresh on the main roster. And like you said, like, they... You can always do the whole numbers game talk all over again with some fresh opponents. You know? Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, because it'd still probably benefit Ciampa and Gargano to go up, but because they aren't, they can kind of reinvent themselves a little bit, and they're...
Yeah.
Well...
Gargano has reinvented himself, and it doesn't feel like Gargano's there to be moved up at this point. Ciampa is just... I mean, he's getting... He is looking old. Like, he can't hide the gray in his beard anymore.
I mean, he could if he really wants to.
I guess he could, yeah, if he wanted to. But yeah, he's looking old. He's looking.
Like, I agree.
He's looking like a guy who's had two major injuries, I believe, at least.
Oh yeah, because that's what cost him at the end of ROH. He had a fairly major injury, and I can't remember if it was an ACL or not. And I feel like he's had at least two in the WWE.
Yeah, he's had two. He had the knee injury, or the ACL, whatever the heck, whatever it was. And then he had the neck injury that a lot of people were concerned that was going to be career ending. So yeah, he's had two long layoffs and injuries. So I don't know if he's necessarily a guy who's earmarked at this point for the main roster.
Well, and I don't know what his age is, but I do feel like he's kind of on the older side too.
Let's take a look at that.
Yeah, that was one where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm actually interested in that enough to to look it up. Yeah.
He's only 30. Wow, he's 35.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Younger than me.
Yeah, he's a little bit younger than I thought. I was thinking 38 or something like that. I was thinking getting a little bit closer to 40 than 35 is, in my opinion. I mean, I know you're working on it at that point, but yeah, he's a little bit younger than I thought. But yeah, I mean, he definitely needed something else, and I don't think, you know, he doesn't, unless he goes up with Gargano and they do DIY all over again. That's another one where if they're a tag team on the main roster, you can hide their size a little bit because, you know, you can do that. The sum of the parts is greater than them individually. They don't, you know, it doesn't look like that's going to happen at this point. reinvention is it is a necessity at this point for both of them. And, I mean, I kind of like it. I feel like Thatcher kind of needed something else in his gimmick, or someone to play off of. Like, I think he does a better job playing off of someone. So having Ciampa around, a fresh face, is I think the best for both of them.
Yeah, no, they're pretty good together.
So,
and I think next week them against Grizzled Young Veterans should be a pretty good match.
Yeah, that should be an enjoyable one. Anything else to touch on before we mosey on out of here?
Nope, I think we got it.
Father-in-law six-pack on special tonight. Warped Wing, Gamma Bomb, American IPA. Very, very good IPA available in the great state of Ohio, wherever you want to purchase it, essentially, at this point. So have at it, Ohio listeners. It is a very good Belltime beer. That's from @DeFrango11. He's @StuntCali. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, anywhere else where you might happen to get podcasts. So that's it. Have a good night.